What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom. And Lotus, we have the Elder Scrolls 1 arena to wrap up today. We're going to try and get through the rest of the main quests as best we can in one episode.
Yeah.
It's a lot to cover, but I think maybe we can do it because it gets a little repetitious.
Yeah. We won't have to go quite as in depth as we did with the first couple. And I mean, we're trying to glaze over some of the stuff, but it's like some of these you're going to get a pattern pretty quick as we go through. And it's just the story bits that we'll kind of like focus on.
Right, right. So the typical pattern is you need to go retrieve a piece of the staff. So you head off to some part of the world. You go on some little quest, meet some person who knows where it is. You have to get something for them. You bring it back. They're like, okay, well, now we know where the staff is. Then you go to that dungeon, you do that dungeon, whatever perils are in that dungeon, you get the staff, and then you move on to the next one. All of this begins with usually a message from Rhea Silmain, who is, you know, sending words into your brain, and then ends with another message directly to your brain from Tharn himself.
Yes.
Who's like threatening
Old
you
Yeager
or
Tharn.
Whatever, saying, I'm going to send more bad guys to go take you out or whatever, right? So that's the kind of pattern. So now that you know the pattern, we can kind of go over the details and just kind of take you through this. So last time we talked about the beginning of the quest and the first place that you go to, the dungeon that you went on, and we started with the Imperial Dungeons, which you get out of, and then Fang Lair. Those are the first two steps.
Yeah.
Next, we have to move on to Labyrinthian, which is a name you might recognize. A lot of these places you might recognize. Labyrinthian.
Yes, Labyrinthian is super common to not only Skyrim, but like this has been a long staple of the series as an important place.
Right, right. So yeah, you might remember it from Skyrim. Eventually we go from Labyrinthian to the Elden Grove, to the Halls of Colossus, the Crystal Tower, the Crypt of Hearts, Mirkwood, Daggoth, or the place, and the Imperial Palace. So that's what we're getting through here. So let's start with Labyrinthian. On your way to doing that, you get this dream. You get the next piece. You've already gotten the first piece of the staff last time when we talked about the stuff that happened last time. But now you get this other image, this other dream in your head. And Rhea says, it seems that you were well chosen. I see that you have won the first piece of the staff. That in and of itself is not a simple task. Tharn, it seems, is not as concerned with you as I had thought he would be. Perhaps he thinks you dead or lost in the sewers from which you escaped. That is well, for I have discovered the second piece's location. There was once a great maze built by the Archmagus Shalador. Everybody remember Shalador?
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody remember Shalador?
Yeah. To guard what he called Glamoril, the elven term for the secret of life. I know not the location of the great maze, which was called the Labyrinthian, but somewhere in its twisted corridors lies the second piece of the Staff of Chaos. Shalador, according to the old texts, made his home in this fortress of ice. He would not have built the Labyrinthian far from his home. I would search to the north for such a place. Thus, you're going to Skyrim, right? I wish you well on your journey. So then you set off, right? Lotus, you go to, travel to the Mages Guild in Winterhold?
Yes. So one thing to note, which is kind of important as we dive into this, we're going to say the location you head to. This game does not have quest markers.
Right.
This is all incredibly nebulous in game. Like you get these directions. So it's like, okay, so we're heading to Skyrim area. We can piece that together. Which city we're going to? Total, like,
kind of
give
it
your
out.
Best.
Yeah.
And then narrowing down the clues relates to, they don't just say go to the Mages Guild. You basically have to ask around town and try to be like, hey, ever heard of Labyrinthian? And people are like, no, get away from me. You're a monster.
No,
and
you're
like,
a weirdo.
Yeah, you're a weirdo. Why are you looking at me like that? Right. Asking me weird questions. And you narrow it down to get the information. It's like, well, somebody at the Mages Guild might know. And that's where it kind of triggers off. We're going to streamline past that because that was a good 16 hours of my gameplay probably was trying to figure out where to go.
Right. So each one of these sections, you'll probably go through something similar to that. So we're just going to give you the, these are the cliff notes.
So we're going to Winterhold.
Going to Winterhold. We have to talk to the Mages Guild. We are then tasked with infiltrating the Fortress of Ice to recover a magical tablet. Yep. You return the tablet to the Mages Guild, and that's when you learn the location of Labyrinthian. Yes. You go there, you go through the dungeon. All of these dungeons are gigantic. They're a lot bigger than current day designed game dungeons.
Yeah, with minimal direction. The Mages Guild also tends to be kind of jerks in the older games. and they give you just the minimum of what you need, and you obviously had to do a trade to even get this information. They could be trying to save the world. Nope, doesn't matter. First, help me out, and then maybe I'll consider it. And then they just send you to the Fortress Ice. No help. Just figure it out.
There you go. Just head over there. So you do all that stuff. Eventually, you go to Labyrinthian. You figure out the puzzles, all the stuff, take on the monsters.
Through the labyrinth.
And you get the next piece of the staff, which then follows up with an ambush. And this is kind of the pattern here, is that you finish the main quest, you get the next piece of the staff, and then at whatever the next random monster encounter is, you get a brain message. We need a fun word for
like
brain
that.
Message.
No, I think brain mail. You get a brain message.
You get brain mail.
They send it
Tharn.
Via Mimospore.
Mimospore brain mails.
it's a callback for everybody.
from Tharn, who says, "You have survived the tests most dire. Continue along this path, however, and you will face such things as to make your very heart freeze." Whoever wrote this dialogue, "You will face such things as to make your heart very heart free." Like, nobody even talks like that, but okay.
No. And on top of that, so something that's a recurring thing, again, we'll kind of make reference to it now because there's a few of them that happen within Labyrinthian and the Ice Fortress. I would joke as I just called them riddle doors, but the doors that are enchanted locked in this game, they, I guess, speak to you. I don't know. Words just materialize in the middle of your screen.
It's more brain mail.
More Mimo spores. Yeah. More brain messages. Mm-hmm. And you literally need to solve puzzles. He wasn't being metaphorical when he was like, "Oh, you know, you pass these tests." No, they're literally tests. Like, they ask you riddles, and if you get them correct, the doors open. If you get them wrong, the door opens, but usually some type of horrible side effect happens as a result. Which is a feature that, I don't know, maybe they might want to consider bringing back every now and then just to grief people. It's kind
of But it's the way D&D adventures.
We had a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, it's the way D&D adventures work, right? Like, you give your party a puzzle. If they solve the puzzle, great. You open the door, you go in. If they don't solve the puzzle, maybe something happens. It triggers a trap. Monsters show up, whatever.
There's spiders or, Atronachs.
Very, very much D&D influence, like we've talked about. So he says he will face such things as to make your very heart freeze. "I will save you the ordeal, for my servants approach you. Even now, from your mangled corpse, I will take what is mine." Mwahaha. And of course, you dispatch
the enemies. Evil laughter, of course.
Right. And you dispatch the enemies, and then you move on to the next area, which is the Elden Grove. So you fall asleep again after taking care of these enemies who are dispatched to kill you, and you get another brain mail, again from Rhea Silmane, who writes, "I would congratulate you on retrieving the second piece of the Staff of Chaos, but dire portents have I seen. The third piece of the staff lies somewhere in the Elden Grove, ancient home of the elves. The Elden Grove is said to be the birthplace of the sacred first tree." The sacred first tree, as we all know in Elden, or Elden,
you can kind
Elder
of see
Scrolls
where
lore.
Elden root is coming about and all of that, but hasn't quite formed as concretely as we see later in the series.
This is
one of those situations of the bones are there during its construction, but it's in the preliminary stages. Elden Scrolls.
Yeah, Elden Root. Elden was in my brain. Elden Ring, Elder Scrolls. She goes on and says, "That which gave life to all the forests on the continent of Tamriel. Its location has been a closely guarded secret. So guarded, in fact, that many believe that even the elves have forgotten its true location. Considering that there are only three provinces that hold any of the elven people, your search should not be too difficult. Find the Elden Grove and recover the third piece of the staff. I wish you well on your quest." And clearly there are elves in all the provinces, but three that are home to
elven
groups.
They're referring to the
groups.
Three homelands, and on top of that, I mean, if it's the first tree and it's what becomes... what becomes Elden Root. Kind of funny if everybody's just like, hey, where'd Elden Root go? And just have no clue. Just like a major city.
We didn't keep track of this.
It's like, oh man, I lost it.
Right, right. So, all right. So you're visited with the brain mail, and then you travel to Elden Root in Valenwood, right? And you meet Queen Ulandra, who gives you a task of infiltrating Selene's web to retrieve a gem. You deliver the gem to Elden Root, back to Queen Ulandra, and then you discover the actual location of the Elden Grove. You travel to the Elden Grove and you find the third piece of the staff by again doing the dungeon, the puzzles, all the stuff that happens there, right? Anything you want to add in about any of those adventures?
So the big one that I would like to mention, which is interesting because it's less about we did the quick Elden Grove thing around Elden Root and stuff like that. But Selene's web is another thing that has come up, as Selene is a longstanding character in the series. You encounter Selene in Selene's web, the dungeon in Elder Scrolls Online, as well as you deal with Selene again, the forest spirit, in another dungeon, which is sort of Selene's web too, but it's called the Lair of Marsalok. It's another interaction with her. So Selene has been around for a very long time. Also, Selene's web's a little weird. Again, not to gross anybody out, but it's very spider heavy in game. And there's a lot of really weird art on the walls in Selene's web. Yeah, so it's just, it's a strange place. I don't know if the art team went a little weird with that one, but there's some interesting bits with that. But yeah, it's just very foresty. And, you know, it's kind of neat that another staple, Selene, brought back in the series, has been there since the very beginning.
Yeah, good on the ESO team, because they, like, if there's something that pops up in one of those expansions, or even if you're new to ESO and you're like, where did this come from? There's a huge chance that it comes from one of these older games. And they've just expanded on it and updated it in a way that makes sense for a modern game. Yeah. So you get done with that. You get the third piece of the staff. And of course, you are ambushed again. And Jaegar Tharn brainmails you and says, why do you choose to align against me when it is obvious that I will destroy you? Even as each piece of the staff comes into your possession, it becomes easier to find you, and I have done just that. Face my creatures if you dare. I am through toying with you. Because he was just joking around previously, I guess. Yeah, typical, like, mustache twirling.
It's a typical evil villain thing. Like, oh, I was just toying around with you. Now to leave this elaborate contraption that will kill you as long as I'm not here, so I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
In this case, here, fight my minions. I could totally kill you, but I can't be bothered right now because I'm too awesome.
Right. So you take care of those minions, and now you're off to figuring out where the Halls of Colossus are. So you go to sleep again, and you get another brain mail from Rhea, who says, you have done well. I had thought you lost to me. Again, strangely phrasing these
It's word, almost like old English, but not quite.
But not quite. Yeah, it's that, like, weird, like,
it's like somebody writing as if they want to be speaking old English.
Right. Yeah, like they watched some shows on the BBC and were like, oh yeah, I can write dialogue that sounds like that. The third piece of the staff is yours. Rumor have been whispered about in the Empire. I think Tharn senses that the pieces come together. You must take care to not be discovered by him. Your death would be most unpleasant. I have divined the location of the fourth piece of the staff. It lies in the Halls of Colossus, a structure built to honor a race of giants, though none have been seen in the land for years, for ages, specifically. It is said that the Halls of Colossus sat perched on a cliff overlooking the Great Divide, which is along the southern edge of Tamriel. Perhaps the halls are near that coastline. I only wish I could offer you more. Fare thee well, my friend, and find this place for the sake of our loved ones. Basically, it's just another vague idea of where to go. Good luck.
Yeah, it's like, well, figure it out.
Yep. Yep. So you end up going to Corinth and elsewhere, and again talking to a mage's guild who send you on this errand to go to the temple of Agamanus. I don't know the best way to pronounce that. And you are to retrieve a stone tablet, which is another callback that they used in ESO during the Elsewhere stuff, where they revisit the Halls of Colossus, the stone tablet, all of that stuff, right?
I loved this callback because this is basically a weird reimagining of this story in the Elder Scrolls Online. It's a different take on it, so it's not exactly the same story, but I did not know that at the time because I played Arena after Elsewhere, like in Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
So finding out that it was literally a reinterpretation of this like quest was like mind blowing at the time. I was like, oh, you literally came up with a different scenario with a similar plot from this, which is, that is a deep cut.
Right. And Abner Tharn being related to, you know, this Tharn, they're both Tharns, right? Jagar Tharn. So you go to the Temple of Agamanis, you deal with that dungeon, you get the stone tablet, you return to the Mage's Guild, and then you find out about the location of the Halls of Colossus, right? So I believe the tablet helps you discover that location specifically.
Yeah, they decipher it, if I remember correctly. Right. And that's what, when you're dealing with the Mage's Guild, a lot of times when it's getting a scroll, getting a tablet or something like that, it's like, they get the information they need and like decipher what they're looking for as well. And then it's like, okay, here you go.
Yep. So, of course, you go to the Halls of Colossus, take on the dungeon, get the fourth piece of the Staff of Chaos, and then you get another brain mail from Jagar Tharn. Is there anything else you want to note before we do the next brain mail?
No, this one's pretty straightforward. The monks were kind of interesting. The only thing I'll say, which I have no idea if this is related, it was just, I remember this bit from stream. In the halls, or in the Temple of Agamanis, everybody, well, I would assume most people know, or look it up if you don't, the Wabajak, Sheogorath's staff.
Yeah.
And it's the same entrance to the Shivering Isles. It's that like three-sided screaming face thing.
On a stick, yes.
On a stick.
Right.
The tapestries in the halls of, Temple of Agamanis look like a three-sided screaming face. It's just much more potato-shaped, so we of course made fun of the art because, you know, it's pixelated. There's only so much they can physically do. Mm-hmm. So like we just kind of referred to them as potato monks. But I have long wondered if like that three-sided face had something like, oh, that's a cool image type of thing out of pixelation, like, and it formed into like the staff or something, because if you actually look at it, it's oddly similar in just like aesthetic to it. And I found it originally kind of fascinating when it was just on the tapestries in the hall, because Sheogorath didn't exist in Arena yet.
Right. There's references to a mad god, I believe, in Arena, but it's not Sheogorath. It's not, or at least it's not named that. It's not a direct connection.
There's really not Daedric princes just yet, really. It's certainly not in the way we think of them.
Right. So you can see like the core nugget there. Like the bones of things that developed later.
Right.
A mad god. That's a Daedric prince. Oh, it's Sheogorath. Oh, he's mad for a reason. He used to be Jigalag.
And here's the reasoning, and then now there's this Grey March, and they're like, it goes in and they fill it out over time, but originally it starts with kind of a small concept, and some of the Daedric princes literally spun off into new Daedric princes as they went along.
Yeah
Like Hircine wasn't an original Daedric prince, really.
Right
One of the newer ones.
Yep, we've talked about that a lot. All right, so you're ambushed again, and you get another brain mail from Tharn, who says, it is obvious, whoever you are, that you are a cunning and worthy foe. It seems that Rhea chose well, even if it was her last act. I will not insult your intelligence with further digression. My minions soon approach, but I will not consign you to the dark door of death. You have proven your worth. Once you are killed, I will raise you to fight for me as one servant. And there's a typo there, right? Like, as one of my servants. Give in to me now, and I offer you everlasting life. You can see that like his opinion of you is changing over time. So that's fun.
Yeah, you're becoming more of a threat, and like, no, I could still totally stop you. I just haven't yet, but these minions will do it.
Right.
And it's like when they die, it's like, well, yeah, you're a nuisance. And these other generic minions. Now, granted, in game, the minions get substantially more problematic as you go, because they are amped up and the level scaling in this game is much more aggressive.
But he becomes more and more impressed as you accomplish greater feats.
Starts trying to actually take you down rather than referring you to, I mean, he still insults you, but it's less like, you can tell it's more of an insulting to try to still appear intimidating and less of just like, I don't really care about you.
Right, right. You really start to get his attention here. So you move on from that quest to trying to locate the Crystal Tower. It starts again with another brain mail from Rhea, who says, "You have recovered the fourth piece. I honor your bravery. Listen closely now, my friend, for Tharn has begun in earnest to look for you. Do not fear. He does not know your true identity, but he can sense the staff's power. With four of the eight pieces, you stand out like a lantern at night. I urge you to caution. The fifth piece of the staff lies in an ancient stronghold of sorcery called the Crystal Tower. It was said that the southern tip of the Dragon's Teeth, which stretches from the ice-covered mounts of High Rock to the wooded forests of Valenwood, could be seen on the horizon from the top parapet of the tower. This would lead me to believe it is not far south of the majestic mountain range. You must find the tower and gain access to recover the fifth piece of the Staff of Chaos." So there's a lot here. I mean, the Crystal Tower, again, shows up in ESO. It's a piece of the, a main piece of the lore that comes up. This idea that there's this mountain called the Dragon's Teeth that goes all the way from High Rock all the way down to Valenwood. Don't think that shows up.
I think that's probably the initial basis for the Dragontail Mountains or...
Yeah, but we don't actually have a mountain range that runs basically the entire north-south span of the continent.
Yeah, I my assumption is it's just a little more generous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's some of the original map forming type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you travel south because she basically says go towards the bottom of the mountain range, go south. You end up on Somerset Isle, which is separate from the continent.
Indeed.
At the Mage's Guild in Lilandril, and you retrieve a diamond from the priests in the Temple of the Mad God, which we talked about. The Mad God shows up.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I actually forgot that this was directly next in the order. So yeah. It's here we go.
Yep. So you do that dungeon. You return the diamond to the Mage's Guild. They then figure out where the Crystal Tower is. And then you recover the fifth Staff of Chaos piece from the Crystal Tower. And you get another brain mail from Tharn. Anything you want to add into that part?
So the only thing I really want to add is just like some of the art in the Crystal Tower. One, the Crystal Tower being in game was another really cool thing because that has been very important to the series and the importance of the Crystal Tower. I just remember again, there's only so much you can do with pixelated art. It is rough on the eyes in there. Some of the floors, they're snowing, which is weird. I assume it's supposed to be like this otherworldly feel.
Yeah, even in Arena, the Crystal Tower spans dimensions.
Right.
And they definitely follow through with that in ESO.
Yes. And it's kind of neat because like one of the floors is like not Christmas themed, but it's like, okay, this floor is winter, but it's inside.
Santa Claus is there. Mrs. Claus is there.
He's just hanging out with his reindeer, Rainguar. But like, yeah, it's definitely got as you go from floor to floor, they have like a strange feel from floor to floor. The other thing, which I always find funny, this is the best example I have. Sorry, this is only for the video people, but here's the mouse pad that comes with the special edition of Arena, which I keep this thing usually in a little baggy because there's like very few of them left in existence because they're so old.
Yeah.
But if you look at the map, so you can do a digital version if you're interested in this, Somerset is actually spelt differently in Arena. It is Somerset, which I remember finding very interesting. And it became, I mean, I guess it's pronounced the same, but it is spelt overtly different than it is in later games.
Right. Like they got creative with some of the spelling, like Elsewhere, but that's stuck.
Right. Yeah. Elsewhere being is a very amusing joke.
Right. Right. So you get this other brain mail from Tharn who says, "I have underestimated you. That is clear. You have not only defeated the useless creatures I have sent against you." Again, why would you send useless creatures for such an important mission? But managed to survive the Crystal Tower, a feat that in and of itself could be legend. It is sad that I am forced to destroy you. Prepare for my minions arrive. So at this point, he's like super impressed. He's like, "Wow, you took on the Crystal Tower? All right."
Yeah, like, man, here's some more mediocre minions.
Here's some more mediocre minions to take you out because I'm super impressed by you.
That'll get you.
That'll get you. All right. Well, we've got four more places to go. But before that, we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for being such awesome supporters of the show. If we are helping you get through your workday, through your workout, your drive to work, any of that stuff, then please go check out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. There might be things you like ad-free episodes across the entire almost 300 episodes we're at now. You've got t-shirts and stickers. You can join us on patron chats where we're going to talk about potentially an Elder Scrolls TV show if everybody wants to talk about that next week. Plenty of time to sign up, so go check that out. Also, you can get shout outs for signing up, like Axel Blades, who signed up this last week. Thank you so much for joining us. So glad that you are here. And our Daedric Princess, who gets shout outs every week, Blinding Vision, Hairscene, Just a little bit of Chaos, and Kira C. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 112 of our current patrons, thanks for being here. Thanks, everybody. We really do appreciate it. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can rate the show on Spotify. You can share it with your friends. There's lots of other things you can do. And if you do leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show so you can get your words on the show. And that's all just to say thanks for supporting us and keeping this going. We really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of Arena.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so we are now off to discover the location of the Crypt of Hearts. And we get another brain mail from Rhea. We go to sleep. Of course, we get this little dream. And she says, "It has become a habit congratulating you on your success. Still, there are three pieces left. And what guards them, only the Divine Lady may know." The Divine Lady. Do you know who the Divine Lady is, Lotus? I mean, it could be a number of people. I'm not sure which.
I feel like there's a lot of options at this point in the series. Yeah. A lot of options.
Right. "I've spent many a day searching the ethereal planes for some clue as to the location of the sixth piece of the staff. This is what I have found. The piece was sent to a place called the Crypt of Hearts. I have no clue as to the location of such a place. The price for the little knowledge I have was exacting. Still, only three provinces remain that can hold these last pieces. It can only lie in one of these three. Good luck." So she very much confirms here that, like, no, this is, you're going to every single province. That's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah, like, okay, well, we've gotten to the point of the ambiguity being behind us. So we got three more provinces.
Right, so it's one of those three, so good luck, right?
Conveniently, the Staff of Chaos is broken nicely into a place for each area of the map. As long as each province has its own thing, it'll give you a nice world view of the situation.
Right, right. So you travel to High Rock and you meet the Brotherhood of Set, or Seth. It's spelled Seth, probably pronounced Seth.
Yeah, I don't know. I was calling him Seth as well, assuming I but I have no idea, as I don't ever remember another encounter with the Brotherhood of Seth overall. Yeah, of
do
any
you
importance.
Think Set eventually is connected to the Tribunal and to
would be
What's his face? Why can't I think of his name?
Sothisil.
Sothisil. Yeah, Sothisil. Yeah. Sometimes it's called Set, right?
Could be.
So maybe that evolved into Sothisil.
Yeah, maybe it evolved into that. Again, very, very possible that this was bones of something else. That it was like, these are his acolytes or whatever.
Right. Now, why that would be in High Rock, we don't really know. But you go through the mines of Kuras to acquire the map to the Crypt of Hearts. You have the Brotherhood decipher the map, and then you figure out where the crypt is. So again, like intro dungeon, main dungeon, and then you go to the crypt and you retrieve the sixth piece of the Staff of Chaos. So any thoughts on this part of the adventure?
No, the mines are actually like pretty generic. Places that are neat to see in the series. It's kind of neat that they send you to Camlorn because you hear a lot about it, but then not a lot of Camlorn action throughout the series. So it's kind of neat to be able to see another one of those. This one's like a little more. Crypt of Hearts is another, it's again a dungeon in Elder Scrolls Online. Crypt of Hearts is actually really, really common in the series as well. It's another place like Labyrinthian that is very frequently found. It's actually the main site of the final battle in Elder Scrolls Travel Shadow Key. Like it's in a lot of games, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and by the fifth age, it becomes a resort.
Yeah, exactly. They decided to clear out all the bodies and then just turns into a resort.
It's so popular. People just want a vacation there.
Yeah, people can't stop showing up.
Somebody's going to be like, wait, what? It does? This is a joke. I'm just joking.
It is a graveyard, so they just got to put up some fences to keep everybody out. They're all dying to get in. Sorry, there's your dad joke for the show.
Oh, boy.
The other thing is I'm pretty sure last episode I mentioned how cool the pixel art is because you get a little loading screen each time you travel to one of these major locations. I particularly love the Crypt of Hearts art. It's pixel art. So do yourself a favor and look up the Crypt of Hearts pixel like load screen intro thing from Arena. I just think it looks really awesome.
Yeah, there's like it's a gargoyle, really cool setting. And a skull over the door of the.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, I want to call out chat. Chat is discussing who the Divine Lady might be.
Yes.
Outlander Frog says, Insta thought calls for Meridia. Hearscene writes, and the Divine Lady is Almalexia, because we set Almalexia, right?
Yeah, and my thought was immediately Azura when we had said it. Like, was where my. Yeah.
Like, my brain kind of jumped through a number of them as well. And I was like, well, it could be any of these people.
I appreciate Indra. The idea that it's actually a plot twist and it's actually just Mehrunes Dagon.
Yeah, right. That one's funny, too. Yeah, nice one there. You get ambushed after you get the staff piece and then you hear from Tharn again in your brain, who writes, you have rejected my offer of everlasting life and defeated the Crypt of Hearts. Your list of accomplishments grow. You will not, however, accomplish the forging of the staff. My forces are inexhaustible and you will succumb. Prepare for my servants arrive. And again, you're attacked by some random monsters that show up.
Okay. This is the point where I feel like my forces are inexhaustible or whatever. Okay. So in other words, this is for anybody who's ever maybe seen this show Futurama. I feel like this is like, I have so many crappy minions. I'm just going to have you kill so many. You eventually just get worn out and then they'll just get you once you basically hit your kill limit. It's like, darn, maybe at this point, maybe send some more useful things because these guys sending these things out. It's like, oh man, his blade isn't dull from killing all of my minions yet. Send more minions.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tharn. So we're on to the next piece. We have to go to Mirkwood, which everybody remembers Mirkwood, right?
As soon as I saw when this popped up in my playthrough of it, I was like, okay, this one seems like copyright infringement.
Right, Mirkwood was an actual place in The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Yeah,
it's spelled a little different.
But I was going to say, it's spelled a little different, though. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, this one, I was like, woof.
Yeah, it's spot on, other than the spelling. So you get another message, another brain mail from Rhea, who says, Tharn is livid, scattering about the Imperial Palace like a rabid dog. You have caused him no end of worry. I am sure the wizard's minions are tracking you. I will say no more, lest I tempt fate. You seek now the seventh piece of the Staff of Chaos. I have found that this piece lies in a place called Mirkwood, the dark forest that ever moves. There can only be one of two provinces left that can hold this forest, Blackmarsh or Morrowind. I would start my search in one of these. And we clearly know that Mirkwood is not Morrowind. It's in Blackmarsh, right? But it's interesting because Blackmarsh and Mirkwood are like, Mirkwood is the forest, Blackmarsh is the place, but now we just kind of use them interchangeably.
Right. And again, this is definitely one of those early formation things. And I sort of wonder if the reason they ditched the name Mirkwood, like, jokes aside, like, I feel like maybe that one needed to be differentiated a bit more as the series progressed. I'm like, maybe we shouldn't use something called Mirkwood.
Right, right. Yeah, and also the dark force that ever moves. I wonder if this was like the early bones of the trees.
So this is a weird one because, like, it sort of implies the Hist.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't really move. I mean,
right. So then you have Fallen Esti. That would be over where we were originally in like Valenwood and stuff like that. So, like, did these split off as topics? Like, did they have the idea of the moving city with Fallen Esti be one direction and the sort of sentient, not entirely sure what the hell's going on with the Hist thing,
right. Yeah.
Go off in another direction. Like, was this like the idea behind it that split into two, like, oh, let's flesh this out, but they flesh it out in two different ways.
Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, again,
I could easily
a lot
see
of these
that.
Could be ideas that, you know, split off into multiple ideas in the future.
Right.
So you travel to the Conclave of Baal in Blackmarsh and speak to its leader. Conclave of Baal, B-A-A-L. Baal was actually a deity, like a Middle Eastern deity. If you go back like 2,000-3,000 years, that mm-hmm. was worshipped by people in the Middle East and regions around where Israel is now. So when Baal comes up in fantasy, it's usually the name of like a demonic entity or a devil of some sort, which tracks with the evolution of world religions and seeing these other minor deities as being demons from the perspective of, say, Christianity.
Right.
But also Molech Baal.
Yes.
There's kind of the bones of that in there, right?
Right. And so as Weather pointed out in chat, actually, the Molech Baal thing, I think, is an interesting tie-in because, again, Molech Baal himself is basically almost like he's one of the two major, hey, this is as close to like a Satan entity
right.
as the series has. It's kind of a little Mehrunes Dagon and a little Molech Baal. It depends on your flavor of the day type of thing. But this seems like very much that. Like, okay, we have a creature called Baal. It's this demonic entity maybe type of deal. And it's like, okay, this became Molech Baal. It's just like, had we had the information we have nowadays, most likely to be like, yeah, okay, it's a Molech Baal cultist. Like, right. It's like the Conclave Baal. All right, it's fine. It's Molech Baal cultist.
Right. Yeah. Today, that's what that would mean. So you then go to the like the pre-dungeon. Well, it's a dungeon, but it's like the smaller of the two.
Called Vault of Germain or whatever.
Yeah,
or Germain.
Gemin?
Yeah, it's maybe Gemin is how you pronounce that.
So yeah, so you go to the vaults, you get another tablet, which you then take back to the Conclave, and then it reveals the location of Mirkwood. You go to Mirkwood, you do that dungeon in order to get the seventh piece of the staff. And what is Mirkwood? Mirkwood is kind of a different kind of dungeon compared to the others.
So Mirkwood is a dungeon in the way that the game needs to have segmented areas that you load into
right.
to explore.
Right. It's not just like a big open world that just continues to load as you travel.
Right. Which the overworld kind of is. But then like when you go into locations, towns and stuff like that, you like go to the door, they let you in. Like, and that's the
right. Load
like,
screen. Right.
Right. And it's like, this is how you get in and out of dungeons and random caves and stuff like that. The thing with Mirkwood is you go into Mirkwood and it's basically you enter the dungeon like it's a dungeon, but then it's essentially an outdoor forest. Like you're out in a forest and it's sort of a hedge maze. It's super foggy. Like that, it's kind of a really neat like haze effect they put on where it's just like they have cloud cover and it's super low down. So it's actually kind of weird because
it's a spooky fog. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And it obscures your ability to see enemies, which sucks for ranged enemies. They will wail on you before you can even like really see them in a lot of cases. But yeah, it's essentially outdoors, and the walls that contain you, because again, it's a dungeon, not just like an open,
it's not just an open forest with
generated
trees. Yeah,
it's literally just like a giant hedge maze. Like, yeah, just find the hedges and press yourself against them, and that's generally how I have to figure out maps.
Take the first left. Always take the first left, and then just work your way through until you get somewhere.
Yeah. And that's just it. And with filling out the maps in this, it's like I would pick a side and I would keep one shoulder to it and loop and try to fill out the map. The hedges let that happen. So that's how it's an enclosed space and a quote unquote dungeon.
Right, right. So you get the next piece of the staff. You get another brain mail from Tharn, who writes to you in a mail, who says to you, you amaze me with your tenacity. This game, however, is at an end. And you may already know the final piece of the staff is in Dagoth Ur. That sounds disgusting, if you think of that as a person.
That sounds gross. That sounds... also, way to break the fourth wall, Tharn, because the game is almost over.
Also, how did that get inside Dagoth Ur? Do you swallow
it? It's staff? Best not to think about it.
In the province of Morrowind. Thanks. It's the only one I haven't been to yet. So
I love how he's just like, well, screw it. At this point, you're figuring it out on your own. I might as well just help you.
The information is useless to you, for none know the entrance to the volcano. Oh, it's the volcano. Good. Cool. Maybe if you survive the creatures I have sent against you now, you will not survive its depths. I bid you farewell. Then he says your name in your player character name.
Yeah.
You have been a most worthy opponent. So he's like, all right, you're not going to do the next one because it's a volcano in Morrowind. Good luck.
Yeah, I will say this one I particularly remember enjoying because it's like, yeah, no, there's no way you can do this. So, you know, it doesn't even matter that I tell you that it's in Dagoth Ur, and it totally doesn't. You'll never find it, even though you found all these other places lost to time that nobody has found for millennia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't find any of those and brought you here. So anyways, it's in this mountainside in Morrowind, but you're never going to find it.
Nobody knows the entrance, so it's fine. Like, whatever. So you go to sleep, you get another brain mail from Rhea, who says, I would take no chances, for Tharn has no mercy and will attack the moment he perceives the staff reassembled. You must be swift. To the northeast lies the Fire Mountain, Dagoth Ur. I'm so glad they renamed the mountain. Somewhere in its volcanic depths is the final piece of the Staff of Chaos. The entrance to that fabled mountain has disappeared with the dwarves that mined it. This is the origins of the Dwemer.
Yeah. So this is still like this has been here since the very beginning, which is really cool.
Yeah. There may still be those who know of it, however. Find the entrance and enter the volcanic catacombs and return with the final piece of the staff. We are so close. I wish you well. So you travel to Ebonheart in Morrowind, right? And you speak to its ruler, King Cassock, who comes up in other parts of the lore. And you're tasked with recovering the Hammer of Garen from Blackgate, and of course you get that, you bring it back, you discover the entrance of Dagoth Ur, and you get the final piece of the staff, and then you're ambushed again. So
yeah,
what is this fiery mountain like in Arena?
So it's kind of like the caves that we were before. But so one thing that is pretty cool is when you are in Morrowind, in any of the province, like in any of the cities or the towns, specifically, I think you just need to be within a certain radius of like, okay, you're in Morrowind, so this shows up in your background because they have varying backgrounds, like for your sky boxes. When you're in Ebonheart, you can actually see the volcano like there. It's just chilling and it's just like constantly erupting, which is kind of cool looking.
That's great. No influence from Lord of the Rings.
No. And definitely everybody wouldn't be dead if the mountain or the volcano was just never not erupting.
This is a great place for a town. Let's just settle here.
Right outside it. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. And then the idea of Dagoth Ur being like a focus of a location rather than Dagoth Ur, which we'll discuss way more in depth when we get later on in the series. And it's like, yeah, Dagoth Ur is like this entrance in the mountainside that they haven't really done a lot with, where it's like, okay, well, there's the island of Vardenfell, like you've got that, but then like the area of Morrowind proper is still attached to the mainland. It's the volcano island of Vardenfell itself that is like separate. You just get to where you need to go in a minute. It just happens.
Right. So you get through that, and there's three levels to this. It's like you're climbing up the volcano in a way, right? Like kind of.
So here's the thing. There are three levels, and the interesting part is sometimes you climb, like throughout the series, sometimes you do climb up, sometimes you climb down, and it was marked by a color. It's like, I believe it's blue goes down and green goes up, or vice versa. I forget which for the marker, but it's kind of cool because it does change. Like this one gives you, and it's just showing you flat planes. You're not physically, you go through the load screen to get to them.
Sure.
In Dagathur, you're literally going down into the mountain, which is pretty neat.
Different
from when you were going up in the tower or something like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you end up in kind of like this main chamber with like lots of lava.
It's down like at the base. Kind of like it's very similar aesthetically to Fang Lair right at the start with lots of lava, lots of caves, lots of literal tram systems. You don't use the tram systems, but it's like, oh, these are minecart things. Like,
Right. So, yeah. So you get the staff, and of course, you get another brainmail from Tharn, who says, I congratulate you on your success. You have discovered, however, or have you discovered, however, what I have known all along? The staff is drained of all magical potential. I did it myself before scattering the pieces across the realm. Dun, dun, dun. It is a useless stick, good for churning butter or rowing a boat, but not for saving the emperor. Come find me if you dare, and I will relieve you of any further burdens you may have to face. My legions await.
Yes, the legions that we can't stop murdering.
Right. So twist.
Literally can't stop killing them.
Right. Twist, this thing doesn't actually do anything. Or does it? Because you head back to the Imperial Palace. You travel to the Imperial City, and you go back through like the palace dungeon.
Yes. So you actually, it's kind of neat because, yes, you go back to the Imperial City where you essentially like got out of. And now you like basically counter siege Jaeger Tharn, which is interesting. It's much more difficult this time because you're not going through the sewers. You're actually like in the palace itself. But yeah, this is kind of the first time you're on the offensive, I guess.
Yeah, basically you're coming for him, with this stick that is supposedly not useful anymore. And you discover that there's a jewel that holds Jaeger Tharn's life force, kind of like a Horcrux or like a, I don't know, if you're like a lich and you have a, what's the word?
Oh, your phylactery.
It's kind of like a phylactery, right? Like his life force is in this jewel. And if you bring the staff and the jewel together, it releases the life force. It's kind of like the key to the jewel or something. Is that kind of how that works?
I think so. I think that's what they're going for. Yes.
Yeah. So like it's not you can't actually use the staff to fight him or to do anything like that, but it can unlock the jewel and releases his life force. And before you do it, you end up with this cutscene where Jaeger Tharn's like, you must not, the jewel holds my life force. He actually says it. He tells you.
Yeah.
He tells you this. And then what that does is it releases and brings back Uriel Septim the Seventh back to this plane of existence or back to life or something. I'm still kind of foggy on how this works.
It releases him from his little pocket plane that he's been stuck in.
Right. Yeah. But he's not actually dead. It's not like he's a spirit on that plane.
He was kind of nestled away in that little pocket thing that he had them. It's just like, I assume it's the same place that Maik is always staying if he's not in game.
Right. It's Maik's little corner of the world where he spawns in and out of. So you bring him physically back.
Right.
And then he says, thou art a true child of the Empire. I thank thee for thy assistance. I have a particular idea as to the question of your service in mind. From this day forth, thou art named Eternal Champion. From thy hand, thou shalt be dealt the needs of the Empire. I, Uriel Septim, true Emperor of Tamriel, do decree and thus make law. Arise, my champion, and take thy rightful place at my side. And then you are like, I guess, famous forever.
You're the new Eternal Champion. So the thing about this, which is worth noting, is Tharn isn't really that much of a boss fight. when you had mentioned that you basically don't use the staff against him, you use it to essentially mess up his...
Unlock the gem, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
So you literally just get past him. He's like, he's a wizard in game. You have to basically just avoid taking tons of damage from him, get past him. And if you, the second you interact with it, he melts. Like, that's the boss fight. He has no,
like, that was it. It was,
he
it
has
was
no
take,
health.
Take the key to the lock, health, unlock, boom, yes. Done.
Yes, it is. It is incredible. There is a lot of buildup for this dude totally being garbage. Like, he is just, you just melt him like an ice cube, which is kind of funny because it's, I find it weird when games have all this buildup and then the boss fight itself is incredibly anticlimactic.
Yeah, that does happen. There's a few I can think of.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you melt him pretty quick, which is,
yeah.
I guess somewhat, it's a pretty satisfying version of him melting. And the other thing, just because we're all Bethesda fans, I assume if you're listening to the show, you probably like probably. These games, or at least moderately interested.
Some people
in
do
them.
Listen to these shows and have never played the games before. Like, it right. does happen.
But it's like, it more happen. So, I would think you have an interest in the series or a related series, like you came over from Fallout, for example.
Mm-hmm.
One of the notes that I really appreciate, and it's one of the things that did happen to me a couple points, well, more than a couple points throughout my playthroughs of this, is there is a specific note on the UESP that I just thought fit really well here.
Yeah, which one?
Where, be sure to save before taking the jewel, as the game will sometimes freeze when loading the final cutscene.
Oh, God. Oh.
Oh. Which... is such a Bethesda.
Can you imagine? Oh, I finally beat this game. I've traveled all over this gigantic continent, figured out everywhere to go, got every piece, and all of a sudden the game's like, oh, you're done.
I don't think that happened to me. I'm pretty sure I read about that after, because I didn't look them up beforehand, and I was like, oh God. Like, I didn't, like, I say prior to the fight itself, maybe I did freeze. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought that was a funny note mm-hmm. on that fight itself.
Yeah. So this all ends with some text that shows up on the screen. And the text says, "You have proven yourself a worthy champion of the Empire, and such service shall not be easily forgotten. Hang not your sword above the mantle, nor place your spellbook upon the shelves. Many such adventures still await your hand. This was but a chapter in the story of the Elder Scrolls." And I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, they made a game, and they put a little ending on here to say, like, well, maybe there's going to be more in the future. And there were.
There sure were.
There's a bunch still. So that's actually pretty cool. You know, like, for all the jankiness we talk about, and this being, you know, an early / mid 90s like RPG.
Absolutely.
With the limitations of PCs at that time, it really does have a lot of stuff that still works out, especially some of the stuff that the stories, the continents, the locations, the mysterious nature of the world, and some of the dungeons and locations you go to. There's a lot here, like the Empire, Uriel Septim, this idea of like wizards trying to gain power, like a lot of these themes, a lot of these places, all of this stuff really does set kind of a nice foundation, as silly as it might seem in retrospect, for the stuff that we have today, which is pretty cool. Like, it's really neat to see the way this stuff evolves.
Yeah, and it can be tough to go back to some of these old games for sure, but I've enjoyed going back as much as, like, people enjoy watching me suffer through some of these, especially because I don't really play them in a logical way of like, oh, I'll look it up and see how to streamline this. It's like, mm-hmm. No, I know everybody's entertained by me trying to figure these out.
Yeah.
But
right. Just like you would have back when they came out. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the charm of it, but it's just like when you find, or at least for me, when I find the connections from one game to another, or, hey, this is an interpretation of something that hasn't been around since Arena or Daggerfall, or this is a pull from, you know, Battle Spire or, you know, Red Guard or something. I found that fascinating because the series has a lot of things that have persisted over the years, and the things that have evolved into other stuff I find really cool in a different way. And it's why it's just like, it's so cool, because oftentimes you won't have a series functionally be active for so long. Like, yeah. 30 years is a long time for a series to exist.
Yeah.
And it's like, as of this year, Elder Scrolls as a series is 30.
Yeah, it's 30 years old. That is crazy.
Wow. Like,
a significant portion of the player base was not alive when this game came out.
Was literally not alive. Yeah. But, I was alive, but I was in grade school.
I was alive and I was no longer in grade school, but we don't need to go into that.
That would get some age differences.
Yeah. In retrospect, I kind of sad that I missed out on it. I remember going to PC stores or game stores and seeing like the big PC boxes on the shelves and not having a lot of spending money. Like there were the games that I could afford and I would play, but there were a lot of games on those shelves that looked really cool that I just couldn't have tried because I just didn't have the money to buy them, or it wasn't my birthday or whatever.
Yeah, for right? sure.
And I would have loved this game back when this came out. I was absolutely the right age to be like diving into the stuff and loving it, but I was playing other games and I just didn't know about the series yet. And it wasn't until much later, but I'm glad that it exists, and I'm glad that it had enough in the bones of it to create a lasting series that evolved into things that became truly great stories with really yes. interesting places. And, you know, as silly as it seems in retrospect, it is still a good core beginning for something.
Right. And if you look at it relative to the time, it was really ambitious.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, and it's why I always kind of make exceptions for some of the like joking, like, you know, is it a bug or a feature? The reason that I constantly am okay with some of the jankiness to these games is because of how ambitious they are in so many different ways. Because right. it's like, even compared to other games where it's like, oh, well, you know, look how big Grand Theft Auto is or The Witcher or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, no, I like those games too, but for a different reason. I can just barge into some random person's house and just start mucking up their plates and stuff. And it's like, that's...
yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have a game where it is that interactive. Yeah.
Yeah. And originally it kind of became more, you know, that type of thing in a big open world, whereas before it was the world was just unparalleled huge, like just nothing compared. We haven't even gotten to Daggerfall, which still I think is like the third biggest game in history or something like that.
It's pretty
like
massive,
scale wise. It's like that's madness. Like this game came out so long ago.
Yeah. So speaking of Daggerfall, we'll be moving on. We'll be moving on to the rest of the games in the series. I guess we'll go in order. Well, I guess we'll go in release order.
Yeah, we should probably go in order.
Yeah, we'll go in release order. So we'll be covering that stuff coming up. And thank you so much for tuning in and being here for these two episodes about Arena. And I hope you're excited about a look at some of the other things and some of the stuff that shows up in the other games, that shows up in the later games like Skyrim or ESO or whatever, and the origins of that stuff. Because there's still a lot of things in the Elder Scrolls world universe of stuff that we... hasn't by the time of Arena wasn't even a consideration. They had no idea.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for being here, everybody. Chat, we love the conversation and all the comments and everything. Thank you so much for being here as well. And Lotus, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, I was going to say, I just hope everybody enjoyed the recap. Lots going on in Elder Scrolls Online at the moment, both good and kind of a little awkward with a pretty major bug.
And they're fixing it and they give people rewards and stuff.
And that's why it's got a lot of good side effects as well. So
random page. Oh my God.
We're going to cover all that this weekend, ideally on, what do you call it? On Tales of Tamriel. So
that other show. Yeah.
And that other show that I do that for some reason I couldn't think of the name for such. So, but other than that, that's pretty much it for me. And
Hercene reminded us of the
there
random
it is.
Page. I always forget the random page. Thank
we
you so
can't
much.
Forget. Yes. Hercene is our number one reminder.
Right. He is the god of the hunt and the god of the random page at the same time.
He's the god of the hunt and the god of the random UESB page.
Right. So random page, I just hit the button. This is from Elder Scrolls Online. It is a character named Baileet, B-A-I-L-E-E-T. Baileet is a Redguard warrior and member of the Fighters Guild who can be found in the Guild Hall in Sentinel. They're a female. They have 39,959 health. They are
all right.
Pickpocket medium, which I think is medium difficulty to pickpocket.
Yeah, medium difficulty. Yeah.
Right. And they do have a little bit of dialogue. This is the only dialogue the character has.
Okay.
It says here, she talks about armor. There's nothing as miserable as wearing heavy armor in the desert heat. I was born and raised here, but that doesn't make it any more a comfort.
All right.
That's it. She's just one of those characters that wanders around, and every so often she'll say a thing if you try to go
and
talk to her.
She's clearly a tank with 39K health and affinity to heavy armor. Or actually, maybe she's a medium armor tank.
Yeah, well, she's got a like a metal cuirass on her outfit and what looks like leather pants with like some metal plating in it. So she's a little tanky.
Yeah.
So that's Maylite, our random page. Thank you for the reminder here, Scene. Go check out Tales of Tamriel. If you are into the Fallout show, go check out the Fallout Lorecast if you haven't checked that out yet. It is exploding. It's ridiculous. It is at the top of the Apple podcast charts for both video games and leisure, which is the parent category for video games. It is just ridiculous. We're up there with like Critical Role right now. It's amazing. So if you want to see what the buzz is about and learn more about the Fallout world because you just watched the Fallout TV show, maybe you haven't played the games, go check that out. Lots of cool stuff. If you're looking for other stuff, I do a bunch of other shows, and there's a bunch of other creators on the Robots Radio Network at robotsradio.net. You can check out all their shows as well. So if you're looking for more content to listen to, there's plenty. We've got lots of awesome shows for you. So thank you for being here, everybody. Chat, I love all the conversation. And we will be back next week. I'm talking too quickly with our patrons to talk about what an Elder Scrolls TV show might look like if they agree to talk about that, which I would imagine they probably will. So we'll be back next week. We'll see you all then. Stay safe out there. And the next time you decide to go on a journey to put a bunch of staff pieces together, maybe you make sure that they actually do something first. I guess they did a thing, just not the thing
they did.
Expected.
Just save before you try anything.
Save before you try anything. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.